Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 2. Welcome to the middle of May. So much is going on, as is always the case every week in Portugal. Congratulations to Sporting. What is the future of Roger Schmidt? Is these things with Bayern true? I'll talk about that in a minute. Portugal, Sportingo came out this week with the 50th, what they said was richest franchises in the world, and there was only one Portuguese team on it. Meanwhile, there was 20 teams from Major League Soccer. How exactly do they measure this? I've got your answers for you. I'll give you the reasoning for it. A Big Four report. Ruben Amorim, again, is back in the news with English interest. Vitória has some issues. Apparently, they've already decided who their next manager was going to be, but he's still at another club. Jota Silva is being looked at by a club from the Premier League. Andres Villas-Boas is officially the president, but not really, because he still hasn't gotten everything he needs so far. I'll talk about that in a minute. Roberto Martinez, coming up about less than 2 weeks from when I record this on the 21st, will announce his squad selections. And big news at Arouca Mujica. Apparently, he's going to be making a big move to the Middle East. It's going to bring Arouca around $10 million. $10 million for Arouca is like Porto, Benfica, or Sporting getting $200 million on a transfer. That's how big it is for this club, Arouca. A very big deal. I'll wrap it up talking about my favorite club and what big thing is going to be happening this weekend. They're actually playing on a Saturday, and there's a big Portuguese celebrity from the footballing soccer world that's going to be there this weekend. I'll tell you all about it. And then we'll end it with the mailbag. And I got two great ones this week, particularly one giving me some background on Racing Power FC. Welcome, everybody, to episode 222. Congratulations to Sporting Clube de Portugal for winning the Liga. They did it, as they say in Portugal, on the couch. Benfica went to Famalicão, lost 2-0, 2-0. I thought it was a pretty lethargic performance by Benfica. And on Sunday night, Lisbon was painted, especially Marcos do Pombal was painted green. And that was it. Sporting, of course, still a little bit of controversy. Basically, Sporting is recognized by the Federation as now having won 20 titles. Sporting says 24. I actually put out a tweet, an X about it, saying that you know, there was this whole thing, and the Federation recognizes less than what Sporting says. And so, basically, the story is the very first graphic that Sporting put out as champions, they said they had won 24 titles domestically, when the Federation only recognizes 20. And it's just interesting how that happens if the Federation's the one that dictates how many championships you won. But that was a bit of a small thing this weekend. But Sporting won, major celebrations that lasted through the middle of the night in Lisbon. Thankfully, from I kind of caught glimpses of it. I was running around on Sunday. I didn't get a chance to go to Newark and see if there was any big celebrations on Ferry Street, or I'm sure there was at Lares de Leões. But it was a big weekend for Sporting, and congratulations to them, their second title in 4 years. What does this mean for Roger Schmidt and Benfica? They looked very lethargic in that match. They looked like they didn't want to play. And basically, they could have put off their rival from winning the title for another week, and they didn't. Roger Schmidt, per reports, apparently is being fancied by Bayern Munich as a potential manager for the future. Reports say that, there was a report this week, I think it was Pablo Aimar might be under consideration for the future Benfica job. There's so many rumors, and I think sometimes newspapers may put things because they're hearing rumors too from their own sources. But I think what's going to probably happen, and again, if you're new to this podcast, I'm not necessarily going to give you the exact prediction, but I'm going to tell you close to what might be happening. And I think what's going to happen with Roger Schmidt is, if Bayern Munich do really want him and do make him a candidate, I don't think Benfica is going to get in the way. This would be an out for Rui Costa, because obviously he hired this manager 2 years ago, and although they've only won major trophy, it was a very important one, though, of course, last year, the Liga, it would prevent Rui Costa from, you know, he wouldn't have to fire him if Rui was getting the pressure behind the scenes to make a move. It would be an easy out, if in fact. And by the way, if you're Roger Schmidt, of course you would want to go to Bayern Munich. It's one of the biggest clubs in the world. The resources there are immense. I think he's gotten quickly very tired of the Portuguese culture, the way the fans turned on the players after a few bad results. In Germany, every stadium or most stadiums are packed. The enthusiasm there, the culture's there. I see if there's any truth to this, Bayern, I see him leaving. But we'll see if, in fact, that happens. But if there's any truth to it, I pretty much think that it will happen. But as far as the Liga goes, there's not really a whole lot to play for. Sporting, by winning the Liga, automatically goes to the Champions League. Benfica's already confirmed for second place, so they're going to be starting off Champions League qualification this August with a third preliminary round, two-leg affair, and then they'll have the playoffs, so they're going to have to play two rounds. This is always great for the immigrants that go to Portugal in August, because if you're a Benfica fan, you get to basically be there for not only the start of the league, and don't forget, Porto and Sporting will be doing the Super Cup to kick off the season. But now you've got plenty of good football to watch if you're a Benfica fan in August, by the way. But Benfica, basically in August, will be playing two rounds to qualify for the Champions League. Porto, 66 points. Braga, 65 points. Vitória, 60. I think Vitória doesn't have a shot. It's basically between Porto and Braga for third place. Third place automatically gets you entry into the Europa League. Fourth place means you've got to play the second preliminary round for the Europa League. I think what happens is if Porto win the Taça de Portugal, they automatically go to the Europa League direct, regardless if they finish in fourth place. What would happen, I guess, is basically Braga would take that third place spot, and I believe Guimarães would eventually, probably, if I'm reading this correctly, they would go into the Europa League second preliminary round. I have to double check that, because I know one Portuguese club has to go to the Europa Conference League, but I'll double confirm that next week. But third and fourth place is pretty much where things are at right now. Moreirense, sixth place, great season, 49 points. Arouca, seventh place, great season, 46 points. They've got to be proud. Familia Cong started the season really bad. That's why João Pedro Sousa was dismissed. They managed to finish in the middle of the table in eighth place. Feirense from the Algarve, a year after being promoted, looks like they're going to finish in ninth. Rio Ave, with something like 17 draws in the Liga, and they are now on a record 10 matches straight without a loss. They're going to finish the season around 10th place. And let's not forget, they made history at the beginning of the season, Rio Ave, by the fact that they have a women's president, which is very rare in men's football in Portugal. And they also had a visit this weekend from José Mourinho. So it's been a good season for Rio Ave, finishing middle of the pack. They had, like I said, 17 draws. They only won six times this season, which is not a lot. Usually that gets you relegated. But they saved themselves with 17 points. Usually they say in Portugal, mid-30s gets you to stay up. So they did half of those points, 17 of them, just in draws. At the bottom, we know Vizela is done. Chaves, not entirely out of the woods yet. They have 23 points. Portimonense is in the playoff, 28 points. So Chaves, at the very least, if they somehow manage to get out of 17th place, would probably... best they can do is to go into the 16th place playoff, but I really don't see that happening. Unfortunately, I see Chaves joining Vizela and going down, and it's basically a race between Portimonense, Estrela Amadora, and Boavista, who this weekend hired, basically selected a new president, Fari, who for many years was a striker for them, and those are the three clubs that, Portimonense right now sitting in 16th place, and they'll be battling to try to get in front of Estrela Amadora and Boavista. So that's still something that's really left with regards to these two final match days. As far as this weekend goes, Estrela, basically everything gets going on Friday with Chaves against Familia Cong. You have basically four matches on Saturday. Estrela Praia sold out already there, their stadium. They're going to be hosting Sporting. You got a big Minho derby. Big match up north. Vitória Guimarães against Braga. This is a match with a lot of implications for third place. Then you have four more matches on Sunday. So again, another week without any Monday football matches. Gil Vicente against Feirense is a good match. Benfica at home to Arouca. How will the fans respond in the Benfica's finally home game? We know that this is also the final home match for Rafa, unless somehow by a miracle he cuts a deal this summer. Rafa looks like he'll be moving on and potentially the Middle East, but again, we haven't heard any rumors lately. Casapia's at home to Moreirense, and Porto will finish up match day 33 at home in a derby against Boavista, and I'll talk about Porto coming up here in a few minutes. Coming up here, second division report. And again, this is where a lot of the excitement is in the terms of the top two divisions in Portugal. Santa Clara, 67 points. They basically just need one more point from their final two matches. Let's put it this way. If they win this weekend, they automatically return to the first division after a one-year absence. So Santa Clara, 67 points. Nacional, 65. They're sitting in the top two spots. But in third place is AVS with 63 points. And then in fourth place, Marítimo with 60. And again, Santa Clara, if they win this weekend, Nacional. Santa Clara for sure. If they win this weekend, they automatically get promoted. Nacional would automatically get promoted if AVS lose. And that would be one way. But if they win, but AVS also wins, then that would pretty much push the final match day to decide who the second team will be. Marítimo, 60 points, three behind, third place playoff. That's really the best they could hope for right now. They still have a shot. And this weekend, Marítimo is the only club of these four that I just talked about that will be at home. Marítimo will be at home to Olivenense. Santa Clara will be playing on Sunday. They will be making the trip to the mainland to play Mafra. Not a very easy match for them. AVS will be making the short trip to play Leixões. Leixões are another club from the north that would like to ruin another northern club's hopes. That's a big one. And Nacional will also be making the trip to the mainland to play Tundela. Tundela and Passos de Ferreira sitting in fifth and sixth place. Two clubs with a recent good history playing in the first division. Not enough points this year, but they can ruin it for Nacional. Tundela making them miserable. So Marítimo is at home this weekend. They need to win to keep up hope for the third place playoff. The top three teams are all on the road. Santa Clara away, Nacional away, AVS. And again, Santa Clara, one win. They automatically are promoted and come up. There'll be major celebrations in the Açores. Nacional, if they win and AVS drop points, they would also basically get promoted and be back after, I think, is it a four-year absence for Nacional? So that is where it's at, and that is going very well. So some good races going on still in the second division. Down at the bottom, we know Vila Verdense has already been relegated. And then, of course, we know that Belenenses, they still have a shot at 16th place, but they unfortunately are way down at the bottom with just 26 points, trailing 16th place Feirense in the playoff spot by 4 points. Belenenses will kick off the action for match day 30. Belenenses will be taking on Benfica B. Belenenses must win to keep their hopes alive. If they lose or drop points, that's it. They will be relegated to the third division. And remember the story. The club had an issue, or the structure, the administration had an issue with the people running the football club, B-Sad, Belenenses Sad, and it was named B-Sad. The administrators at Belenenses, the actual club, which run other sports, created their own club in their name, made its way up from the districts to the second division fast, and I mean fast, but now that they've been 1 year in the second division, they are in danger of dropping to back down to the third division after 1 year. Very, very disappointing for the project of the people at Belenenses, because they really wanted this club to stay in second division this year and then compete to try to get into the first division next year. Moving on, let me talk about the rest of the Liga and the different teams and everything. But first, I want to start off with Sportico, which is a big business, sports business, really heavy, of course, on the American content. They're sort of like a sports business thing, analytics, things like that. Came out with basically ranking the 50 richest clubs in the world. And one of the things that surprised me was of the 50 clubs, there was only one Portuguese team in it, Benfica at number 35. Meanwhile, there was something like 20 Major League Soccer teams in it from the United States. I believe Toronto and one of the other Canadian franchises who played Major League Soccer were also in it as well. And it got me curious how that could be, and I pretty much was able to find the answer. So first off, a lot of people, when they hear 20 MLS, they think, well, it's probably slanted toward the American side. But here's really what it is. This does not include transfers. Obviously, in Portugal, when every clubs do their financial reports, a big, big part of it is the transfers. But that's really what this report is. It's not the transfers. It's everything else. It's the sales from your business side, your store, your online store, what you sell in kits, the money you make at a home match, your TV revenue, your sponsorship. And basically in that, when they take those numbers, there was only one Portuguese team, Benfica, that made the top 50, which tells you how incredibly reliant we are on player transfers and how, I'm not going to call it a weak market, but how the commercialization of Portuguese football just doesn't have a lot of strength behind it. It's really nobody's fault. This is not to say anything less of the Liga, but we have teams like Nashville FC in Major League Soccer, which only started, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, if I'm correct, that are ahead of, that are in the top 50, which I find to be amazing. But again, the potential of the amount of money that Nashville FC could make is really what this is about compared to what Portuguese clubs would make. So if you take transfers out, selling players, and whatever you have left, that's basically what this says. So this is a very respectable news medium. This is an organization that actually reports the news. They basically, and I just found that to be shocking. When I read it, I said, wait a minute, how could you have 20 MLS teams? And then once I realized it was everything to do with off-the-pitch stuff, that's when I realized. And that teaches us a lot about why Pedro Proença, the Liga president, just talked about this a short time ago, the other day, about how Portugal, you know, in about 2 to 3 years, they're going to have the centralization of the TV rights. Still need to figure out how the big three are going to get money compared to the rest of the league. You know, that's still going to be an issue. But the point is, the Liga has to work, and I'm sure they are, on finding ways to boost clubs. Because right now, people care more about our younger players. You know, if you told somebody, this happened to me the other day, I was talking to somebody. I said, yeah, you know, Benfica's playing Familiar Cone. It's a big match. If I recall, it was the RTP International match. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's that club with those good players like João Neves and Antonio Silva. I was like, yeah, but it's also a very good match playing in a small stadium. But they didn't want to hear any of it. And until Portugal gets to that point where people actually want to watch the football and now want to watch the potential stars, we're going to be where we are. So this is really not the fault of the Liga or the clubs. It's just the economics of the way it works in Portugal, but still very, very, very surprising. Especially to see some MLS teams being valued at $1 billion. I mean, congratulations to them. But you think about the history of Portuguese clubs, and I think Benfica was only $675 million. I think they were the only one. So it's pretty amazing. Moving on, Vitória Guimarães. Of course, you know that I spoke about it last week. The president of Guimarães wasn't happy that Álvaro Pacheco was apparently being considered for a job in Brazil and might have had a conversation about it. And as a result, now it looks like they might be making a move at the end of the season. And Vitória Guimarães is eyeing the manager of one of their local clubs, not in one of the clubs not too far from them, Moreirense, Rui Borges. If I knew the Vitória Guimarães president, I would say put your ego to the side and keep Pacheco as manager, because ever since he's come, you know, after he was dismissed at Estoril and then he got this job, he has done nothing but great things for you. The players like him. The fans are happy. Put your ego to the side and let this go, and hopefully Álvaro Pacheco will be back. But if players are looking to make big moves. You know, managers are too. That's just the way it goes. That's, again, the economics of Portugal. Transfers, moving to bigger opportunities. Guimarães, president, let it go. Keep Álvaro Pacheco. Why are you going to change the momentum? This is why clubs sometimes don't maintain the momentum, and you have clubs that go 1 year from 13th place, then to 5th place, and then they sell all their players, and they change everything, and next year they finish in 12th. This is one of the reasons. Try to keep your players, keep your manager, and next year try to make that run on 3rd place. So I felt I had to say that. Mujica, big news by Mujica. He's scored 20 goals for Arouca this year. Has been one of the biggest reasons why they've been very good. It looks like he may be going to move to the Middle East, to Al Sadd, for like $10 million, which is major money for Arouca. Major money. It's like getting $200 million if you're a big three club selling one of your players. Major money. And congratulations, because that's really the dream of these clubs, is to make that one big sale that will set them up for the next 2 to 3 years. So that is very, very big. I told you about Rio Ave, a 10-match unbeaten streak. Fantastic. Vitória Guimarães, by the way, going back to them, Jota Silva is being mentioned in the with West Ham. Jota Silva, again, a fantastic talent. I still think he's going to go one of the big three this summer. But apparently the West Ham might be looking at him. And, of course, if I read correctly, the price tag for Jota Silva is somewhere around $20 million. Moving on, I want to talk about Jose Mourinho. He gave an interview, I think it was to a South Korean media outlet that reports news. And basically, he was asked about Portugal, and he said that he regrets not having already taken the Portugal job. He had two opportunities, and for reasons of timing, he decided not to take it, but he kind of regrets it now. Mostly because, number one, of the talent level in Portugal, it is certainly right up there as to the best it's ever been. And he feels like this would have been the best opportunity if he had maybe taken over after 2022 to take over the Seleção. But he pretty much admitted that it's been a mistake. He says he probably won't let it go if he gets offered it a third time. And let's be honest with you, at some point he will be offered the job. So I think it's safe to say that at some point in the future, Jose Mourinho will be coming back and managing the Seleção. But I thought those were some very honest comments about him. And part of it could also be that now that he's been unemployed for a few months, maybe he's starting to realize that the Portuguese national team job is one of the better jobs that's left for him. There were rumors of Bayern. There's talk supposedly of maybe him going back to England. But so far that hasn't come to fruition, and a lot of these rumors don't have a lot of momentum behind them. So, but very interesting that he said that. I thought it was a very honest remark, and that's why, and I've said this in the past, he's going to be eventually the manager in Portugal. The question is how quickly will that happen? Big Four report, obviously, congratulations to Sporting. Ruben Amorim was mentioned in one of the tabloids in England with United. This is going to be something that's going to be discussed a lot. I know Ruben Amorim has said that he's going to stay. Of course, he said he wasn't going to be looking at any offers. And then, of course, he flew to England. So we know the whole story with that. But Ruben Amorim has got to say what he's got to say during the season. And then I think in June, we'll see what opportunities he will go after. But again, if you're a Sporting fan, this is a big summer for you. You might lose a lot of your best players to big sales. You might be losing your manager. It could be a totally rebuilding summer. If Ruben Amorim leaves, who would be your manager? I mean, who would come in? And boy, what an act, what a hard act to follow, by the way, if you were going to be the next manager of Sporting. But that's going to be tough. There were reports that Ioannidis, a Greek striker, is very interested in Sporting. He would probably replace Goyokeres. But now they're saying Goyokeres, Sporting's going to try to make a move to keep him. I don't know if I believe that, because if someone comes along, even if it's not his release clause, with $70 million, that would be very hard for Sporting to pass up. And reports are that this has been old. Paulinho might be getting some looks from the Middle East. Certainly it would be an opportunity for him. He is getting a little bit older, and this could be a very, very big payday. Benfica this weekend, Rafa playing his final match. The club have not been able to renew with him. He's been one of their best players this season. I don't know. It would have been a lot worse for Benfica if it wasn't for Rafa and the way he played this year. But he apparently looks to be moving on. And again, apparently the Middle East might be a big opportunity for him. Moving on. Oh, by the way, Renato Sanches is back in the news with Benfica. This is from the Ojogo. And again, I don't know, because the other newspapers didn't really go heavy on it, or the Ojogo, although to be fair, Ojogo sometimes, even with other teams, gets a good story right. Would Renato be a good fit? I think Benfica needs players that are going to contribute right away. Renato has, well, at least since he left Lille, hasn't been the same player again. Don't really know what it is with him, where he's good at some clubs, you know, great at Benfica, goes to Bayern, doesn't work out. Goes to the other clubs, doesn't work out. Then he goes to Lille, and we think here he is. And then all of a sudden, he leaves and goes to another club, Roma, and it hasn't quite worked out for him yet. So you just never really know. And does Benfica want Renato? Because it's not the same Renato that left 6-7 years ago, that's for sure. But that's something that I'll be very curious to see if that turns out to be a story with any legs to it. Anders Villas-Boas, they had the ceremony to basically make him official, and very interesting. Well, he did meet with Conceição and the players. They did the official photo of that. But what's interesting is that Villas-Boas is apparently with the business arm of Saad. He wants to appoint his own people, and he would rather see the guys that are there leave on their own. Apparently, they're not leaving. More to say on this once I learn more about it, but he's president of the club, but not necessarily all the way. Most companies, when there's new leadership, the new leadership decides to bring in who they want. That happens a lot, especially in North America with businesses. That doesn't necessarily seem to be the case in Portugal. It's hard to ask someone to leave if they already have a job, because you'd rather have somebody else there. But there's more to this story I'm sure we'll hear about soon enough in the press. So that's the big Porto story. And again, Porto in a tough spot right now. Hard to believe if you're a Porto fan, they are essentially playing for third place. Let me also talk now about women's football. It is the final match day of Liga BPI. Benfica is in first place with 53 points. Sporting is in second with 51. Sporting needs a win and a Benfica loss to win the title, like the men's team. Benfica, they only need a win, and I believe, well, they need to win outright, basically looking at the goal difference, and I think Sporting beat them head-to-head, but that's what I'm reading. Basically, Damiens is hosting Sporting this weekend. Benfica is making the trip. Bit of a little, well, actually, they're playing at home, and I'll talk about that in the mail back here in a few minutes, playing Racing Power FC, who's from Seychelles, by the way, and that is Benfica playing Racing Power FC. So Racing Power FC, the third place team, can make Benfica's weekend miserable by beating them. And if Sporting goes to play Damiens, which by the way is the fourth place team. So Sporting and Benfica have tough matches this weekend because they're essentially playing the third and fourth place team respectively. But basically, women's football will be decided this weekend. It will either be Sporting or Benfica. Benfica in pole position to win. They just need to try to get the 3 points at home, and they will celebrate another title. Lank Vila Verdense is in last place. They are going down, and that is basically it for them. And the playoff will be between the 10th and 11th place team. Familia Kong and Audience are going to have to go to a playoff. I think they're doing it with the second division to decide who will be staying. Remember, next year, I believe the women's structure is only 10 teams instead of the current 12. That has changed. I think it's for next year or the following year. But Familia Kong and Atletico Oriente have some work to do this weekend and still have to do a playoff. Let's talk about my favorite club in Portugal. If you're new, I have been following my club all the way down at the bottom in the districts, going from the second division of the districts, then the first division, where they were stuck for a number of years. And now they're in the fourth tier, and they're still in the cup final, which is coming up, I believe, in 2 weeks. But this weekend they're playing, and they're playing, by the way, on a Saturday, not a Sunday. They're playing a team called Corinthians. They've already won first place in their Viana do Castelo region. They are through. By the way, it also means by them playing the fourth tier, it means they play football. I think like the districts don't start playing until like the middle of September. I think the fourth tier basically starts, I think, toward the end of August. So there might be an opportunity for me to actually see a real match. We'll see. But basically this weekend, it is a very, very big weekend. The last match day. And here, and check this out. I saw them advertise this on their Instagram account. Bit of a big celebrities coming to Portugal this weekend. If you follow Portuguese regularly, you know of Cândido Costa. He is a, well, first off, as a player, back in his day, he played for, I remember, the team I remember him the most for was Belenenses. I remember they played a friendly against Real Madrid, and he scored against Real Madrid. I think that was a match to honor Real Madrid, because I think Belenenses has a history of Real Madrid. I think they played like their first match at the Bernabeu or something like that. I might be wrong. But he basically was a footballer, played for a lot of clubs like Porto for a few years in the early 2000s. He played for Braga, and he eventually went to go play in Romania. And he had a small career, never made it to the senior side of Portugal. But anyway, he's a major TV personality with Canal 11, with Porto Canal, RTP. He's one of those guys that's taken his popularity. It wasn't very big as a footballer, but he's become a big deal now that he's this personality. He visits different stadiums around the league. And guess where he's going to be on Saturday? He will be at the Athletico dos Arcos Corinthians match. Obviously, with the fact that they've been promoted, he's going to be there, and they're going to do a program about it that will be on Canal 11. I'll see if I can find when they're going to air that. It's probably in the next few weeks. But this, again, is another reason why Athletico dos Arcos de Valdez is one of the best small cities in Portugal, no doubt about it. But that's a lot of fun to hear, and that's going to be a lot of fun to bring more attention to the club as they get ready to go to the fourth tier. But Cândido Costa, if you're Portuguese and you know Portuguese TV, you know of this guy. This is a big deal for the club. I've spoken to a few people. I think this is also maybe one of the reasons why they moved the match to Saturday, in addition to getting ready for the cup final next week. But this is a big deal, and I think they're even giving away free sandwiches at this match to try to get as many people to come to the Estádio do Cutada. So that's going to be a lot of fun to see. And again, great job by Athletico dos Arcos to get Cândido Costa to the match this weekend. Let me wrap it up here with my mailbag edition, and I've got two great that I received. First of all, let me just say, if you want to send me an email, criticize, compliment, or tell the Portuguese soccer world, football world, anything, peacesoccercom@gmail.com. Also, give us a follow on social media, Twitter, X, Facebook, at peacesoccercom, Portuguese_soccer_noticias on Threads and Instagram, and PortugueseSoccer.com as well on YouTube and Facebook. And thank you for all those. And people always ask me, and I repeat this so many times, what can you do to help this out? If you're a weekly follower, give a follower to all the platforms, especially YouTube, where I've been doing pretty well there. I didn't realize how many people use that to listen. And thank you so much for that. Google Podcasts, by the way, is no longer available. Google got rid of it. So if you want to listen to it, you got to use YouTube Music, which is owned by Google. But obviously, you've got Spotify, you got iTunes, you got Podcast Addict. And then, of course, you also have, if you can listen to it as well, on YouTube. Let me read out two of them this week. And let me read it first from Mr. Benfica, Mike Agostinho. I've read Mike's stuff before. Big Benfica fan, one of the biggest ones I know. And he wrote to me about Racing Power FC. He even sent me an article that I was reading a little bit about. John, I've heard you mention how you like the name of Liga PPIs. That's the sponsor of the women's football. How you like the name of Liga PPIs, Racing Power FC. And since my Benfica ladies are getting ready to play them first on the final day of the Liga with the title on the line, and then again a week later in the Jamor for the cup final, I did a little digging into who is this club and what is it's all about. There's not a lot out there about their story, Racing Power FC, but I found this page that explains their name comes from an energy drink company, and they are a women's only football club. Actually, them traveling to Benfica campus this upcoming weekend makes it a sort of a Seychelles derby, as their home pitch is also in the town of Seychelles. The club was founded in 2020, so that would have been the COVID year, and has been promoted from the third division to the second, and now is in the Liga BPI. It's hard to find out who these investors are in the club. It appears it was formed after investors had disagreements in a previous club known as Bayonne Piedras FC. They're very ambitious, and it will be a tough test for Benfica to have to face them back-to-back weeks with the Liga this weekend and the Cup match next week. Thanks for all your work and all the information you share with us week after week. Congratulations on your club's promotion as well. Keep up the great work. Mike, un gran abrazo. Thank you so much. I really respect you a lot. Racing Power FC is basically a club that's about 4 years old. They had a big company that got behind them. They worked their way up, which, you know, in the women's football with only, I think, three divisions they can do. And they're about to finish this season in third place. So this is definitely a club that, even though Benfica and Sporting are still bigger, they're the third biggest club right now in Portugal, even bigger than Braga, based on the fact that look how quickly they got to third place. But yeah, they are based in the town of Seixal, and massive matches for them this weekend. First, can they ruin Benfica's weekend? A big Liga match, Benfica needs the 3 points to win the title this weekend. And then, of course, they've got the cup next week in the Jamor. So certainly it's a very quick story, you know, like when I was talking about Bill and Nantes, how they worked their way up from the districts to the second division fast. This is a club that has done the same thing, except they're going to be staying up. And obviously they look like they're going to be someone to be reckoned with in the future. So this is a very, very big, very big story. And thank you so much, Mike. This is an example of a club that has resources behind it. And when you have resources behind it, especially a big company, that really makes it easier for you, because it's really more about the winning and not so much worrying about selling players. Coming up next, one of my favorite, the Casapia Feyenoord lad. The Casapia Feyenoord lad. Of course, he's a big Casapia fan. They're my friend. How are you? I want to donate my question/comment in the mailbag. This time to give a very big shout out to all the players from the Liga in Portugal at Olympiacos for reaching the final of the Conference League and beating Aston Villa. David Carmo, Daniel Ponens, Chiquinho, Andre Horta, João Carvalho, Ruben Vezu, and Gelson Martins. I hope that more people will give them a look and not forget the many Portuguese players entertaining and bringing smiles across the world with their football. Thank you for this podcast and hopefully for answering my questions. First off, thank you so much, as always, for contributing. You know, that is a very, very big point. Olympiacos is going to be playing in the Europa Conference League final. They're going to be playing Fiorentina. And there's like six or seven Portuguese players at this club. Olympiacos is a big club in Greece. Massive fan base. Popular in Greece. Don't have a great history in Europe. They do a little bit. Well, this year they have a great history. They're going to a Europa Conference League final, something that us Portuguese clubs can't say because we've never played in the group stages of the Europa Conference League. But congratulations to all these Portuguese players. Really glad to see guys like Gelson Martins, David Carmo. Could he resuscitate his career there? That's very, very big meek. So, hey, thank you so much for the tip-off here. This was a very good mailbag. So great mailbag. Thank you, Mr. Benfica. Thank you, the Casapia Feyenoord lad. Thank you so much. And again, peacesoccercom@gmail.com, or send a DM to the social media accounts, and I'll be sure to read it out. Folks, I'm going to wrap up episode 222. As always, let me say two things to you. Number one, please support your local club, especially if it's in the lower divisions. If you go to Portugal this summer, buy a shirt. Do whatever you can to support them. And if it's during the season, go to a game, buy some food. Support your local club and follow them. They would appreciate it, and I think that would be great. And then also, let me just say, as I always say, please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week, everybody. Ciao.